found the most interesting photo of Bill Clinton in a fan cast room for Mr. Collins.
Start your sublight engines. It's time for RuPalp's Pod Race, a queer Star Wars podcast. In case you missed it, since we're not covering a certain animated Star Wars show that their final season is airing, we started RuPalp's Day Off, our series where we talk about different pieces of non-Star Wars media we love. And this episode was supposed to be the Baldur's Gate one, but some life things happened, and that will be coming later. Instead, we are discussing my favorite book and its adaptations, Pride and Prejudice.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single autistic NB in possession of a hyperfixation must be in want of an outlet to info dump about said hyperfixation. So with that being said, my name is Jess. You can find me on social media, Kawaii Jessio. Oh my gosh, wait, I forgot my pronouns. My pronouns are they, them. I did say I was an NB though, so. And my gender this week is, I'm 27 years old. I've no money and no prospects. I'm already a burden to my parents and I'm frightened.
Hi. My name is Mel. I use they, them pronouns. You can find me on social media at Melvin Culpa. And my gender this week is Twee Lizzie Bennett.
And my name is Claudia. My pronouns are she, her. And you can find me on social media at Kaludia Says, K-A-L-U-D-I-A Says. My gender this week is Lizzie Bennett's statement necklaces.
God damn it.
If you cannot tell, a lot of us did rewatch the Lizzie Bennett Diaries in preparation for this.
Actually, that was the first time I'd ever watched the Lizzie Bennett Diaries. That's my confession.
For real?
Yeah.
Okay, it was the first time I, like, watched many episodes straight through, because I feel like I watched all of it in GIFs on Tumblr.com.
Oh, that's so dark.
For years.
That's so dark.
I knew everything that happened. I knew when it happened. Like, it was like, I couldn't escape it. But before we get to the Lizzie Bennett Diaries, we should discuss what our introduction to Jane Austen's most popular work is.
It was when I was 12 years old. I was in seventh grade, and I walked into my older sister watching Pride and Prejudice 2005 because she was having to read Pride and Prejudice for her English class. She was, like, in high school. And I was just like, ooh, what are you watching? Because I saw Keira Knightley. And also, this is before I realized I was not straight and not cis, but I knew that I liked Keira Knightley, although it was just because I was like, oh, she's really pretty. You idiot. It's because you're gay. And but no, I saw Keira Knightley on my sister's, like, computer screen, and she's just like, oh, I'm watching this movie of this book I have to read. And so I sat down and I watched it with her, and I was just like, wow. New obsession unlocked.
Here is my confession. One, the Lizzie Bennett Diaries were my initial view into Pride and Prejudice. I won't lie. I think it was like a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago now, that the RuPaul's had like a movie night and we watched Pride and Prejudice. That was my first time watching Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, I remember I made you guys watch it with me.
Yeah, Ollie fell asleep through it, so they don't remember a lot of it. I, however, enjoyed it thoroughly. Another adaptation, of course, that I love of Pride and Prejudice that I was reminded of right as we began to record is also the Wishbone adaptation of Pride and Prejudice, which is called First Impressions, not Expectations, but it's like Fur. Because he's a dog, and he is Mr. Darcy in it, and I think that that is very charming.
My introduction to Pride and Prejudice, I literally have no idea, because I didn't have to read it in high school. I feel like it was just general immersion on Tumblr.com. I don't know when I first watched the 2005 movie. I know that when I was generally immersed in it, I had already seen the movie. Don't know. My partner, Claire, he's probably as obsessed with Pride and Prejudice as Jess is, which is, like, the tippity top of it. But, like, I had seen the movie. I knew the ancient... It's kind of like my introduction to Star Wars. No idea. No fucking idea how I was introduced, whatever. I don't think I had read the entire book until recently. I did read it for this episode. Although when I was reading it, I was like, I recognize pieces of this that are like not in the movie. So I was like, maybe I have read it and I just don't fucking remember. Maybe there's something wrong with me. But yeah, I was listening to the audiobook version that Rosamund Pike does. She eats that shit up. There's a lot of good adaptations, but she eats that shit up. I don't know what my introduction is. It literally the same thing happened with the BBC series. I watched it for us to record today. And I was like, I recognize like all the pieces of this. I like whatever, but I don't remember watching this. It was just implanted into my brain.
I love that for you, honestly.
Yeah, it just happened. Wait, so the biggest question is, what is everyone's favorite adaptation of Pride and Prejudice?
I don't know if y'all could figure it out from the fact I brought up the 2005 one first, which, yeah, that's my favorite adaptation. I decided this year that I will be documenting every time I watch it to see how many times I watch it by the end of the year, because I know I watch it like a billion times every year, so I'm just like, although that was more because I was really depressed a lot of the time, I feel like mentally I'm in a better place more recently, so I haven't watched it nearly as many times as I think last year by this point in time. I think I've only watched it 3 times so far this year, which I was like, okay, that's a good sign that I am not as depressed so far this year.
So, once again, I have only seen, two and a half adaptations. I will say before recording this episode, I watched the Wishbone episode at 2.5 speed, just so I could just say that I I could remember what happened. I think my favorite adaptation, and I don't know, saying my favorite kind of seems extreme, but it's the one that I have the strongest relationship with, the most memories of, is unfortunately the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. I don't know what it is about that series. It was my shit when I was like 15. I recently rewatched it. There are certainly some parts of it that did not age well, aged like curdled milk.
Yeah.
Like real bad style.
We need to discuss the Lizzie Bennet Diaries as the elephant in the room. So for those who don't know, who are not on Tumblr.com in the year 2012, in the ancient times, the Lizzie Bennet Diaries is a series co-created by Hank Green that took YouTube and Tumblr by a storm, because it's like, what if we told Pride and Prejudice in a series of vlogs? And here's the problem. Watching it now, it's a period piece in itself, because it's a period piece capturing the early 2000s. And I know you were in middle school. Those are my first 2 years of college. So everything she's wearing,
I was like in high school at that time.
Everything she's wearing, everything she's talking about, I was like, it's me. Like, that's when she was. And also, I was a communications major in college. I wasn't at the beginning of college when that aired, but like, she's talking, and well, technically she's in grad school in the series, but when she's talking about like majoring in communications and the things, here's the thing, I couldn't concentrate on that fuck ass series because, like, as I said, I had watched it through GIFs because I was like, I'm avoiding this, whatever. Watching it now, I couldn't concentrate because every episode would start and every fuck ass outfit that she had or any of them had, I would be like rolling on the floor laughing, like, oh my god, that's an outfit that I had. The business casual. The statement necklaces, the Kohl's statement necklaces, the Henleys, the hair, like, it's, you watch it and you're like, this is beyond millennial cringe. Like, this, it's literally a period piece. Like, I can't, it's fascinating. And as Mel said, the period typical racism and sexism is also part of the period piece. No, okay. So actually, I want to hate on the Lizzie Bennet.
Okay.
Lydia's first intro being like, I'm gonna say the R slur. Whoa, what?
Yeah, I mean, she did be like, oh, can I say that? And they're just like,
Like, the depiction of Lydia as the most obnoxious twee person from the year 2012 is really actually quite good. It would be better if everyone else wasn't obnoxious. because Lydia's supposed to be a pain in the ass. So the whole thing, I especially like figured this out once I had like read the book and I watched the BBC series, whatever, that like you never really realize is that like Lizzie, and this is also something that the girlies, the book talk girlies don't get, and the current the romance they're not getting, is that Lizzie herself as a main character, she's interesting and she's also nice. Like the whole thing is that like everybody hates Darcy because he's mean to her and she's a nice person. She's like, she's nice, she's talented, everybody likes to be around her, and then he's fucking mean to her and everyone's like, girl, what the fuck is wrong with you? So in the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, which it's from her point of view and she's talking, but in the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, anyone else comes into the room and they're like, you're wrong, you're stupid, because you're crazy. And it's like, in this situation, yes, but like Lizzie is not supposed to be like obnoxious. Like she doesn't have Darcy on her mind all the time. Claire was the one who pointed this out and I was like, yeah, like I don't know why this is annoying me. And I'm like, it's not just that she's so mean to Lydia, like she's and you're like, oh, it's because they took out the Victorian sensibility. I'm like, no, like Jane is nice, whatever, but like she's supposed to be nice and also interesting and smart, so you're like, why is he so mean to her? Like, of course she's a catch, like what's wrong with him? Because the whole point of why it's interesting is that Darcy apologizes because he's in the wrong and men don't do that. So like the whole thing is that she's supposed to not be obnoxious and they're like, ah yes, they're butting heads. Lizzie Bennet Diaries, what are you doing? The enemies to lovers girlies are always like, oh yes, they're enemies. I'm like, Pride and Prejudice is not enemies to love. Well,
they're not enemies. I feel like the girlies are too.
Yeah, they're not really. Yeah.
Maybe like acquaintances. I mean,
yeah, Lizzie dislikes him. But yeah, she wouldn't like call him her enemy. Yeah. She's rather like, I want to be indifferent about him because I don't give a fuck about him.
Well, and that's the other thing is like, not only is her dislike of him founded, which in the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, they're like, oh, well, you're just not being nice or whatever. It's like, she's also just like, dude, she's like, dude, you're annoying. And then she hears that he did a bad thing and she's like, oh, he fucking sucks. Like, he sucks. And everyone's like, yeah, he sucks. And then she finds out he didn't actually do that. But like, there's a reason why she doesn't like him. It's not just like, I find him obnoxious because like whatever. Anyway, sorry, I'm being a hater. I'm being so mean.
I mean, she also like, yeah, you know, thinks he's kind of just rude, like one because yeah, she heard him one like insult her, where at first she was like, well, I don't care about him, but then the fact that he insulted her, then she's like, okay, I've done nothing to you, we've not even spoken, and you said that about me, which she's like, okay, he's rude. Which is the whole reason why she dislikes him at first. But then, you know, she's like, I don't want to, like, start anything with him. I just don't want to, like, see him. But then she finds out, like, the fake shit that Wickham tells her. And then she's like, oh, okay. So my reason for disliking him is, like, valid because he sucks. And he's actually a terrible person. And then, yeah, you know, she finds out, oh, George Wickham is the actual terrible person.
Listen, I think it's fucked up that even back in ye olden days, 1813, whatever, that men negging women was a thing. What are we doing? I know that's not Darcy's intention, but like he is negging her. And then also Wickham's whole shtick, his bullshit. Girl, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up.
Well, I think that's kind of a part of the good, like, I feel like Pride and Prejudice is a story of like how negging doesn't work. You know what you have to do? Express your feelings and apologize.
Communication is key.
Also, not to harp on the Lizzie Bennet Diaries again. But why is, like, I know Caroline is like being a manipulative mean girl, whatever, but like they do have a bit of a gay vibe. I don't. No, Caroline,
no,
and I was like, y'all should kiss. Like, Caroline is supposed to be like ugly stepsister cunt level. And she, and I get that they went for the like, oh, like mean pretty girl vibe. But I was like, she just seems like kind of like a bitchy bestie who's like kind of very wants to kiss you on the mouth. Maybe doesn't know about that. Like, I
think they tried to tone it down because even in 2012, they were like, oh, my gosh, women. Hank Green was like, I got you, bestie. Feminism.
I will say, as someone who graduated from college and then worked at a startup run by a horrible CEO, them making Catherine DeBerg a bad CEO was the best part. Mr. Collins, listen, Mr. Collins talking about the content industry, I was like, oh, maybe they made this for me.
Okay, sorry.
I was like, wait.
Not to bring up the Lizzie Pettit Diaries again. I'll get over it eventually. But the fact that VidCon was a plot point, talk about
crazy.
Oh, yeah. That part was so fun.
Guys, it's time for me to come out. I was a nerd fighter.
So was I. I made a club for it in college.
Okay, well, one of us went to VidCon. Anyways.
You're just like Lizzie Bennett for real.
I am just like Lizzie Bennett for real. Just all of the little things about that adaptation, I'm so afraid, like, shade my view of the original source material. And so I'm curious about, like, when it comes to adaptations, what are things that, like, you have seen adapted that were good, and what are things that have been adapted that are bad? Because I will say, to the Lizzie Bennett Diaries defense, God, it hurts to say, I do kind of what they did with Lydia and Wickham, about, like, instead of it just being like, okay, we're marrying her off to him, whatever. I know that's period difficult.
That was crazy.
That's fucking crazy, dude. What? Nor.
And, like, that's the happy ending. That's a happy end. You're like, bro, what?
Boo.
Yeah, I do say, yeah, in defense of the Lizzie Bennett Diaries, I liked that change with Lydia does not end up with Wickham, because I was like, good, because fuck George Wickham. This is a George Wickham hate club. All the homies hate George Wickham.
Yeah.
So I like that. Yeah, so what else? There was another thing that I had told myself that I liked Charlotte in the Lizzie Bennett Diaries, and the whole business partners thing with Mr. Collins, instead of, like, you know, getting with Mr. Collins also, because although in the original that was Charlotte being, you know, the more sensible person of, like, yeah, you know, I as a woman in this time period do not have rights, and I'm already hitting that age of, like, as I quoted from the 2005 movie in the beginning of this episode, of, like, you know, I have no money and no prospects, I'm already a burden to my parents. So in that time period, the smartest choice for her was to get married to someone, and Mr. Collins was that, was that choice for her, which, yeah, he is kind of
I love the implication that in the year of our Lord 2012, the smartest choice for a woman is to work a startup with VC funding.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, I believed. I was one of them, so with the statement necklaces and all.
Wah-wah. That is rough.
Not wah-wah.
No, some of the millennial cringe of, like, how they were talking, it, like, made me want to jump out of my skin. And
listen, Lizzie Bennett is just a small girl looking for her big boy, or whatever the fuck that woman said about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
For those of you who don't know what reference that is, there was a very cringe TikTok that said that. But it did throw me back to my years of on YouTube, and I was like, Dan and Phil never did this to me.
No, don't bring Dan and Phil to this.
I was going to say they're my Lizzie Bennett and Darcy. No, they are no. Jane and Bing.
No, we're not talking about
Dan and Phil. Yeah, we can't bring up fandom. Fandom with a PH shit right now.
It's always a good time to talk about fan.
No, I have found some of the choices they made interesting. Like the fact that they only made it like three Bennett sisters instead of the five of them, and they made Mary into their cousin and Kitty into an actual kitty. So it's like, oh, poor Kitty Bennett turned into an actual cat in this fucking web series.
I feel like the ones that I liked the most were the ones where, like, the characterization was spot on. Because I feel like something that, like, people really like about Pride and Prejudice, even though it's like an old novel, is that like it is pretty, it's very hyper characterized. The people feel so real, like whether you're, whatever adaptation you're watching, like if you like, you've never had the experience of going to balls and stuff with these people, but like if you're watching and you're seeing how their mother and their sisters act in public and you are cringing and you are feeling the way that everyone else is feeling, you're like how it's universally relatable. Like they all feel like such larger than life characters, and so like if they bring that into another adaptation, I feel like that's good. But also like it has to be like the correct character. That's why Lizzie Bethune Diaries did not click, whatever, because I was like, why is Lizzie like this? Like but the also other thing is like the original novel is really funny, so like it needs to be funny. Like it can't be too serious, whatever. And I think that's one good part about the BBC miniseries. But wait, I didn't say what my favorite was. It's one we haven't discussed today. I'm bringing a wild card to the table, okay? It is the film based on a book, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Listen to me. It is a camp fucking classic. Also, the sheer number of crazy big stars that are in this. The best casting in the whole thing is Matt Smith as Mr. Collins. He eats that shit up. It is so good. What's her name? Cersei Lannister from Game of Thrones plays Catherine de Bourgh. Great. And like, so basically it's basically like almost an exact adaptation of Pride and Prejudice. Like there's so many things from the original book that are there, but they're like, and what if in the middle of this we were hit with like we were hit with like a zombie outbreak, and like you would think it wouldn't work, and then it does work, and you're like, wait, that kind of cooks. And like, for example, the scene in the where they're fighting in the house, I forget, Darcy and Lizzie, and she's like, the scene where he's basically like, I love you, but I think you're trash.
Oh, the proposal. Yeah. Scene.
And she's like, girl, what the fuck? It's a great scene in any adaptation. In this adaptation, they are like physically fighting during it. Like, so the premise is like, so they keep a lot of things the same, but they're like in this universe, like ladies don't just learn all the like things that ladies are supposed to learn. They also will learn like martial arts or something like that, and that's part of being a sophisticated lady. So like, and you know how people talk now about how like there's no sensuality left in movies, there's no tension, there's no whatever. I have never seen a fight scene choreographed this well, that's this fun and sexy and not in a cringe way, and also keeping the exact same dialogue from the original book. Like, it, you're like, this sounds like the dumbest idea possible, but it eats. Like, I can't explain why, but it's so good. And like, I think it's Lily Collins who plays Lizzie, I don't know. Anyways, I just love that adaptation because it's like it retains all of the great stuff about the book and then puts fucking zombie war in it, and you're like, how is this possible? Like, how did you do this? And I know people who read the book version and they said it's not as good. The movie is very good, and people pan the movie. Go watch Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, okay? My partner didn't think they were going to like it, and they loved it. So I'm just saying, it's a camp classic, okay? And it eats up all the girls.
Lily James is Elizabeth,
yes,
Bennet.
Yes, yes. And she eats that shit up.
I'm looking at the cast now. Which I didn't know Lily James was in that movie. Interesting. Okay.
Sorry, I remembered hearing about this, but I have not watched it. So I took a moment and looked at the trailer. That shit is crazy.
Oh, it's literally insane. And you're like, that looks like the dumbest thing. And then you watch it and you're like, wait. Like, it was definitely made by people. And because it was based on a book. So I don't know. Did they do more of these where they took classics and they took classics?
Yeah, there's also Sense and Sensibilities, yeah, and Sea Monsters.
And I think they did War and Peace as well one. Or something. And I was like, and you'd think that this is crazy, right? But like, it really works. I think it's like because the people who wrote the book version, like, they love Pride and Prejudice, and then they made the movie and they were like, they love Pride and Prejudice. There was an app game for the iPod Touch.
Oh god.
Wait.
For Pride and Prejudice and Zombies?
Yeah. And it was supposed to initially be Natalie Portman, and then it, oh wow,
Natalie Portman, and, what are you doing?
And then it got changed to be Lily James. Well, I mean, if it was Natalie Portman, as we know, she looks the same as our favorite Lizzie Bennet.
Wishbone.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
No.
Anyways.
I love that. To answer my own question, I don't know. I feel like the ones that do reflect a little bit more about, like, the sisters' relationships and inner workings, I feel not, like, are better, but I don't know. I just feel like there are a lot of adaptations that see this and want to make it more about, you know, obviously, like, Jane and Darcy. Not Jane and Darcy. Oh, my God. Lizzie and Darcy. Why the fuck? But, like, I think that this, it shines when you have the sisters and, like, their kind of bond, especially, of course, Lizzie and Jane. I don't know. Jess?
No, because I agree. Because, like, one of the whole big things with Lizzie is that, you know, she does really love her family, even though sometimes she is like, damn, my family's really cringe. But she does care a lot about her family. So, like, not showing her, like, bond with, like, her sisters or the rest of her family, like, her parents, does feel like it takes a little bit away from her, like, character, which is also something with the Lizzie Bennet Diaries where I was just like, like, why didn't they also talk about how close she is with her, like, dad, which I guess I saw people saying, like, the book version of that, it does touch more on her relationship with her dad. But, like, in the web series, they didn't really touch on that, really, at all.
We do have to discuss in Lizzie Bennet Diaries the Recession Corps, because that the entire plot line, instead of, oh, someone else is going to inherit our house, is that our house is being foreclosed on because we are living in a recession. I was like, oh, this is a little too real. Like, I was like, whoa. And they were like, yeah. She's like, I'm a grad student and I live at home. And I overheard my parents talking about how we need to renovate our house so that they can sell it. And I was like, damn. Okay, representation. I was like, damn. No, but yeah, I think this is my hottest take about Pride and Prejudice. I think Pride and Prejudice is a lowercase r romance story and not a capital R romance novel, and I'm sure many people agree, because a romance novel is erotica, and romance novel is erotica and has a happily ever after. Yes, this is a happily ever after, but, like, this is a story about Lizzie Bennet as a person, and the love story is a big part of it, but it's, like, it's about this, it's a story about all the sisters, it's about the Bennet family, it's not just about the romance part of it, like, so. Sorry to the girls. Is it a rom-com? Yes, but it's, like, it's about her. It's not about them. I guess. Anyways, this is a very important question. 2005 movie, what ending is better?
My hot take is I don't like the ending with, like, Lizzie and Darcy, like, kissing in front of, like, Pemberley. I don't care for it.
The girls are gonna cancel Jess.
Yeah, I'm sorry that, like, I mean, I get it. They wanted, like, a more, like, romantic scene, but, like, I never really cared for it as a child, and, like, watching as an adult, I still don't care about it. I will, like, end the movie right after, like, you know, the, like, dad accepts the proposal for, like, Lizzie, like, yeah, you can marry Mr. Darcy, and, you know, I'm like, yep, that's where it ends. We're good now. And then I restart the movie all over again.
And you know what? I think that's fair. I feel like, and once again, this is just, like, something I have noticed about a lot of, like, contemporary romance novels. Okay, sorry. I just realized something and I will bring it up shortly. That, like, I feel like so many romance novels now are, like, oh my gosh, they have their happily ever after epilogue 5 years later and they have a kid or whatever. And I kind of like that the movie, at least the ending with the kiss is kind of like that. And then just like okay, they are going to live happily ever after, but we don't need to know all that other shit. We don't need to know that gay shit.
remember when stories just ended?
Mm-hmm.
How nice that was.
I can't wait for the Pride and Prejudice sequel. what's the opposite of pride?
Humility?
Humility. Humility and acceptance about their children. But something I realized, and I don't know if this is quite exactly a Pride and Prejudice retelling, but a series of books that I read that I feel like have a very similar vibe, except for they have quite a lot of sex, is the Brown Sisters trilogy by Talia Hibbert. Get a Life, Chloe Brown. What's the other one? Act Your Age, Eve Brown. Is it Act Your Age? Anyways, point is, it's about three sisters and like their relationship and also the romantic relationships they get into. Of course, that's like a lot of romance novels, but I feel like a lot like Pride and Prejudice. I like them so much because they also, while the book is about the romantic relationship that's going on, we're getting these like kind of fully realized people with relationships to their family, and like the importance of family is really not harped upon, but like their connections with other people make them real instead of just like two Barbie dolls that
is
you're like,
Fast, is Fast and Furious a sorry,
is in the Pride and Prejudice universe?
Is
yes,
Fast and Furious, a
yes.
It's all about family.
It's all about family.
Actually, I would love to see a Pride and Prejudice adaptation that is in the Fast and Furious universe. That I would watch. It's all about family.
It's camp.
It's all about family. Jason Statham and what's his name? Vin Diesel make sweet love to the soundtrack of Pride and Prejudice.
Who is playing George?
No.
The Rock is playing George Wickham.
Please.
No.
Please.
Yeah, it's a family story. And I also, if you want to get into the whole thing with between Wickham and Darcy, like essentially he's like, they're like, here, have a job, and he's like, I don't want to do that job. I'm going to fuck bitches and get money. And then all he had to do was fuck off, but he was like, what if I lied?
Yeah, honestly, like, he didn't have to, like, say anything and start, like, lying about Darcy to, like, Lizzie. But he, like, but it was, like, she, like, mentions, like, knowing him, and he's just like, I'm about to ruin this man's entire life for fun. He was like, teehee, what if I just start lying right here, right now, to this person who doesn't even really know him?
Here's where I out myself as stupid, because I'm like, why did he try to get with Lydia? It's not like she's got money. And he didn't know that they were going to pay off his debts.
See, I think the thought process there is that, you know, at first he was definitely trying to get with, like, Lizzie. But then it, like, you know, she implied to him that, like, oh, I know your secret, kind of, like, about that you are a big, huge-ass liar. Because, like, you know, her, like, saying, oh, I saw Darcy, and, like, actually, he's improved on me since, like, the last time we, like, met. And then he's like, And I feel like that was him kind of trying to get back at Lizzie, or maybe even Darcy, because I feel like he might know, too, that Darcy at least seems to like their family in some way, and he seems like a petty and vindictive bitch, so.
I love the idea that someone could be so petty and vindictive they would put up with Lydia. That's hilarious to me. And I do have to respect the hustle there.
He's also just a terrible person, because, like, you know, obviously Lydia's, like, 15, 16 years old. Same with, like, Georgiana before. And he's, like, a gross-ass, like, adult man, so, like, George Wickham, kill yourself. No, cut that out. Sorry.
No, I think you should keep that in. That one should count. Not to hate on the Lizzie Bennet Dart. Jesus. But they make Lydia be in college, and be a college party girl. I think it matters that she's a teenager, even though the context of age is a little different in the past era to now. I think it matters that she's a teenager, because, like, of course she's going to be cringe and loud and boy crazy and whatever. She's like a straight 15-year-old girl.
She's literally like 15-year-old girl, yeah. So, like, that's why I don't hate Lydia Bennet, unlike some people who are like, Lydia is so annoying. I'm just like, you just hate teenage girls then, huh?
Yeah.
Like, she's just a teenage girl.
Except for the Lizzie Bennet Diaries where they're like, she steals prescription drugs and is an alcoholic. And you're like, whoa. Damn.
And they slut shame her and it's just like, interesting.
I go back and forth about how I feel about Lydia Bennet in the LBD. Because on one hand, I kind of actually like that they aged her up. I know that she is like a little kid, but I also feel like in terms of adaptation, just looking from it from like going from 1813 to present day, like I think they could, of course, gone down the kind of dark line of thought, which they did go kind of dark, like with the sex tape thing. Where it's like, yeah, this.
God, I forgot about it. I remember the discourse about that on Tumblr.com.
I remember watching that and being like, oh, shit. What the fuck? Am I Lizzie Bennet Diary? What the hell's going on? But I don't know. I think that there is some use in aging her up. But I also think that it comes, like, from a writing perspective, it makes sense. But, like, in terms of, like, the overall actual story, it does kind of lose the whole point of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But to be fair, they aged all of them up because, like, yeah, in the original, like, I'm pretty sure Lizzie's only, like, 20 and Jane is, like, 21 or 22 or something.
Yeah. Okay. We've talked a bit about the 2005 movie, but, I mean, the most common debate is BBC series or 2005 movie. Which one is better?
I think it really depends on, like, your taste. But they're both good in, like, you know, different ways. The BBC one, obviously, being more true to, like, the books. There's definitely, like, things that happened in there that they were able to get done. One, because it's like 6 like almost hour long episodes, so they were able to fit more of the book content into the little mini series than they are into like a 2-hour movie. But I think the 2005 one is just like really on a cinematography level, like really beautifully like shot. There's like a lot of like iconic like moments in that film and like that I like will think about because I was just like, that is a really good like shot. Like when you see Lizzie standing by that cliff, just kind of like and having the dramatic music playing in there, that's a good shot in that movie too. And obviously also the iconic like hand touch moment too that everyone always fucking thinks of when they think of that movie, which. Not to bring LVD again, the moment in LVD that's like that is, I think, I forgot which episode it is, but when she's at fucking, I think, Pemberley Digital and, like, touches his shoulder, like, briefly, I saw, like, people in the comments, they're just like, this is the LBD's, like, hand touch moment is the shoulder touch moment.
Yeah, I feel like the girls were gooped and gagged for LVD. In the comments, I'm like, I get that it was 10 years ago. We have to be serious. That, I don't know if that's correct. I don't know if that's true. Like, that is something that really fails on the LBD train. Sorry, I keep bringing them up. It's because I watched it the most recently.
I know, that's the one I watched most recently, too.
I feel like the problem with it is that at no point did I feel like, first of all, I just feel like the guy who played Darcy, I don't feel like he was the right choice. I feel like he was awkward and like he just didn't have that same autistic swag, you know, that I feel like Darcy should have.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing about him is that, did you guys notice he kind of had like perpetually raised eyebrows?
Yes,
absolutely.
I think about that, like, you know, the edits that like the besties use where they put the freaking one like perpetually raised like eyebrow onto other pictures. That's how I felt staring at that man. I'm sorry.
But the thing about Pride and Prejudice, no, it literally is like, it is the story of one man who is very autistic and everyone misunderstands him. Like, that's just what it is. And like, and then when she's like, oh, he's not mean, he's just autistic, and then things change. Like, that is also while I love the 2005 movie, like, as a movie, I really like the BBC adaptation, because every time they show Darcy, he looks like a sad, wet cat. They make him look so sad. And I don't, like, every shot of Colin Firth is him just looking to the side in the most pitiful, sad way possible, just being like, like, I was like, my cat makes that face. Like, it's like, it's, I don't know what it is about that series, but they're like, we're gonna make this man look so uncomfortable, either uncomfortable, sad, or lost all the time. And then he actually is wet, and you're like, there he is, the sad wet cat. And that's because,
no, I think I think Matthew also does a good job of looking.
He does.
Like,
he does, absolutely.
Like, I
absolutely
am confused and lost, and I'm trying to seem like I'm just a serious man, but also I'm just socially awkward.
Well, the series just, like, I don't know if it's the shots they choose or whatever, like, they just, they show it more. Like, and you can tell that he likes her. That's the other thing, is the whole thing, Pride and Prejudice, is that, like, he fell for her first. He's just an idiot.
Yeah.
And the whole time he's just like, what if I stared at you? Okay, Edward Cullen.
Like, yeah, because, you know, like, it tries to play it off where, like, you know, because she overhears him talking to Bingley and being like, oh, yeah. When Bingley's like, oh, what about her sister? Like, she's pretty and she's nice, too. Like, why don't you, like, dance with her? And he's just like, no, she's just okay. But it's just, like, I definitely think Darcy had already, like, thought, like, oh, she's pretty. Like, she has nice eyes. But, you know, he's weird and awkward. So he's just like, no. I don't want to dance with her. She's just okay. Leave me alone. Go back to dancing with your partner. But then, like, he spends the rest of the night kind of, like, just, like, looking at her and probably, like, thinking, actually, no, she is pretty. And so the next time he fucking sees her, he's just like, there she is again. Yeah. And then at that point, she's already like, no, he insulted me last time, so go fuck yourself.
No, and I feel like that's why they're not really enemies to lovers, because, like, he never really sees her as an enemy. He's just like, do I like you? Do I not like you? Maybe I do like you.
It's him kind of questioning, like, do I like this girl? Do I like her? Her family kind of is cringe, but And then him being like, yeah, actually, I like her. And then, you know, him being silly, goofy, and being like, hey, I'm in love with you, even though your family's cringed. And her being like, why the fuck would you tell me that? What would make you think that I'd want to, like, marry you after you tell me that?
That was something that I feel like in the 2005 Pride and Prejudice film, like, you watch and you're like, okay, yeah, I can believe that. And, like, it feels like, I don't know, the performances feel real. Lizzie Bennet Diaries cannot say the same. It feels so out of fucking left field that Darcy pops in and he's like, Lizzie Bennet, I'm in love with you. And she's like, huh? Oh.
I remember when that aired. It was all over Tumblr. I remember that was, like, that was the practice run for November 5th, 2020. Because, like, nothing's ever going to reach November 5th. But I feel like that was the pregame. Like, I was like, I don't even go here. And everyone was like, he said it.
Oh my God.
Stand up.
I am remembering when I was, like, taking acting classes in, like, college. In comparison with, like, BBC miniseries and the 2005 adaption, there are moments where, like, in the 2005 one, it isn't really Regency acting, like, accurate. I know, because when I was, like, taking, like, more, like, classic acting classes, and we were going over, like, Regency era stuff, and, like, my teacher was, like, teaching us how to act like Regency era, like, people. And we watched clips from both the BBC miniseries and the 2005 adaption, and I was like, my bestie, 2005, you're here. But then my teacher, like, tearing it apart, because being like, oh yeah, that's not, like, an accurate portrayal of how they would behave in Regency era, because they're, like, definitely showing more, like, emotion and, like, yelling when they're, like, back in that time, I guess. You know, you had to behave more politely, and you'd go about in that really roundabout way of trying to insult someone with, like, oh, I can't even use an example right now because
I will say Darcy is the king of a bitch comment, and not just him being an asshole. Like, if you read the book, like, he says some shit where you're like, ooh, he got your ass. Like, especially to Caroline
Bingley.
Yeah, well, to him too, Caroline Bingley. He's always beating her ass. You're like, oh.
Oh, yeah. There's all those moments where she's, like, obviously, like, trying to, like, get his attention. And then he's kind of just like, sit your ass back down. I don't care about you.
She's literally the origin of, like, the one of the guys, girls, the pick me of, like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Darcy. Oh, my God, Darcy. What are you doing?
And she literally says that. But she literally accuses Lizzie of being like that. She's like, oh, my God, isn't it terrible? And there's women who put down other women just to get with men. That's so crazy. And you're like, girl.
Like, those moments where when Lizzie's at Netherfield with them because Jane's sick. And then all those times where Caroline, knowing that Darcy thinks that Lizzie is pretty, is like doing those pick me girl like moments of like, oh, like Lizzie Bennet, look at her with her freaking hem 6 inches deep in mud. She's not that great. And Darcy's just like, I don't know. I think her looking all like sweaty like that, she still looks pretty. And Caroline just like, well, like, oh wow, Darcy, you're writing letters to your sister. Tell your sister I said hi. Wow, you're such a great writer. And he's just like, please fucking leave me alone. I'm trying to write a letter, and it's not even to my sister, so fucking shut up. Oh, Caroline Bingley, why are you the way that you are?
I've heard, like, people be like, what if they did, like, a gender, like, flipped Pride and Prejudice?
It would depend on what the setting is.
Yeah, how do you feel about that, Jess? I don't know.
I feel like they should just, like, do a whole different story at that point.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a big part of, like, the whole thing with, like, Pride and Prejudice is, like, the sisters, like, struggles too of having to be women in that time period.
Yeah, and that's one thing I think the Lizzie Bennet Diaries did well. They were like, how does the gender of that work in the modern day? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so there's a couple gay adaptations of Pride and Prejudice. I learned that there are two books that are gay. One is lesbian, one is gay. They're both called Most Ardently.
Oh, that's God.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That is crazy.
The gay one, the Lizzie Bennet character is actually a trans guy, which I think is an interesting way to explore, like, the gender issues of it. Although a mutual of mine was reading it recently and said that they couldn't really get into it that much because they think Mr. Darcy is hot, like, from the beginning. But I don't know if they're attracted to him or
it's
not.
Like, gender envy.
See, that's what I was thinking, but I would need to read it. I tried to read it before this, but it was... on everybody wants to read that shit. So yeah, there's a lesbian one and there's a gay one. I haven't consumed either one.
Well, I mean, there's also this is a Pride and Prejudice film adaptation that's gay that I would like to check out. I didn't get the chance to before we did this episode. Fire Island.
Oh,
I completely
it
completely slipped my mind, but I think that has a lot of conditions that I think make it like an adaptation, specifically like a gender swapped and also gay version, that I think makes sense because it is like, I don't know. I'm not saying when it's gay men that there are things that make it similar to the issues of womanhood, but I also feel like societally there is something to say about like the way that gay culture covets age and youth. That is kind of similar to period typical perceptions of like young women needing to get married off, if that makes sense.
Why did I think about twink death now? Like when people were talking about twink death.
which character in Pride and Prejudice is experiencing twink death?
Why was my first thought Bingley? I'm sorry.
No, because I was gonna say, like, a key tenet of, like, a good Pride and Prejudice adaptation is, like, how are we dealing with gender? And if we're just, if we're translating that into the dynamics of gender and gender presentation and gender identity in a queer community, like, I think that's why that works better than, like, a flipped version. No, because no, you know what I thought of? Omegaverse.
Oh my god!
I just think an Omegaverse version would be very funny, and I know it exists. It's got to exist. Pride and I'm looking. I'm googling it right now. Pride and Prejudice Omegaverse right now.
The Pride and Prejudice that you guys hear about. There's like straight people Omegaverse stuff. Yes. Where, like,
which
they made it very gendered and just fucking the Omega
guys.
The Omegas can't even, like, male Omegas can't even, like. No, wait, there's not even male Omegas in, like,
that's crazy to me.
Omegaverse. So it's just like, what the fuck?
guys, I looked up Pride and Prejudice Omegaverse, and I thought, like, a bunch of, like, self-published books and, like, fan fiction would come up. The first thing that comes up is a traditionally published book, or maybe it's Hello? Not. Hold on. Maybe it's just ebook. It's called Darcy's Omega.
Sorry.
A Pride and Prejudice Omegaverse variation. Wait. If there's one danger to an alpha, it's an omega. Finding one in Sleepy Meriton is a dark-haired beauty is not what Darcy expected or wanted. Oh, that's so... Wow.
Everyone is
okay.
So creative.
Okay, wait. There's a gay one called Pride and Prejudice and Omegas by James Austin. It's
James Austin?
And that's no. That's proper omega versus... Oh, wow. As the second omega in the Bennett family... Alonzo Bennett. Okay.
Alonzo.
Okay, then there's Designation and Deceit, a Pride and Prejudice Omegaverse variation. Okay, the note in the description of this book. Dear reader, this book is probably the filthiest J-A-F-F you've ever read, and yet simultaneously the most tame Omegaverse in history. In other words, it's all relative. See author's note in book for further content advisories. Straight people will not survive the Omegaverse. Like, what?
I've got to say, this is my hot take vis-a-vis Omegaverse and straight people. Not to say that straight Omegaverse can't exist, because I do think that it can and frankly should exist. That being said, if you're not willing to, like, to take the plunge and include M-Preg, fuck you.
Like... But why are we here then?
You've,
like,
just reinvented sexism.
Jarrett?
You've just basically, like, created sexism again. Sexism 2.0, but, like, weirdly, like, bioessentialist, like, extra bioessentialist sexism.
It's literally, like, then just do something with, like, weird wolf shit. You don't have to come here. Like, we're here for M-Preg.
Give us M-Preg.
Like,
or give us death. I was not expecting to say that in the Lizzie Bennett video. The Pride and Prejudice episode. One thing about Star Wars in Pride and Prejudice, in the Lizzie Bennett Diaries, the gentleman who does play Mr. Bing Lee.
Oh, yes! I was going to say this. Yes.
He's the voice actor of a character in Star Wars Resistance. The main one, in fact. I don't remember his name.
Yes.
He's also...
Christopher Sean.
Isn't he also in Visions? Like, the second
one? Yes. Yeah, he is. He's in the English voice dub cast. No, so when he came on the screen, I was like, wait a minute. I know who he is.
Yeah, I also, when he came on the screen for the first time, I was just like, where have I seen you?
I was like, he's in a Star War. Wait a minute. Speaking of a Star War and a Pride and Prejudice, I'd like to bring you today to name that ship.
Oh. Oh God.
With the quick search of Pride and Prejudice Star Wars on AO3, I've come to you today with a couple of things. These are all Star Wars Pride and Prejudice crossovers. And sometimes it's a crossover, sometimes it's an AU, we'll see. This first one is a crossover, and it has one relationship of one character from Pride and Prejudice / one character from Star Wars.
Oh.
The characters are character B, so it's character A / character B, Mrs. Bennett, Character A, Mr. Bennett. Mr. Darcy Sr., Elizabeth Darcy. Jane Bingley, Mr. Bingley. Additional tags: Mutual Pining, Slow Burn, AU, Crack Ship, Slow to Update. Has 4 of 7 chapters. Oh, this updated like last year. Who would you like to guess first? The Pride and Prejudice character or the Star Wars character?
Let's guess the Pride and Prejudice character first, since this is the Pride and Prejudice episode. Is this one of the Bennets?
Yes, but not one of the sisters.
Oh.
The dad?
No, it is a woman.
The mom? Okay.
No, I already listed Mrs. Bennett.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, right. Wait, they're a Bennett, but not one of the sisters?
I'm sorry, I'm stupid. Yes, it is one of the sisters.
Okay, so it's one of the Bennets.
Is it Mary?
It is one of the sisters, yes. It is Mary Bennett, yes. That's why I was like, wait, that's the cousin. No, she's a sister of fucking Lizzie Bennett Diaries.
Fuck you, Lizzie Bennett Diaries.
Who is the Star Wars character?
Are they, a sequel character or?
Not yet.
Oh, God.
What?
Is it Thrawn?
No. It is!
It's Thrawn!
Hell yeah!
What?
Wow, how did I give it away from that?
You said not in the sequels yet, and I was like, okay, well, who's kicking around that could be sequels bait? Also, I don't know, I just guess.
I'm just kind of obsessed. I'm obsessed with this. Here's the thing. It's not the only one that is Thrawn in the world of Pride and Prejudice. Like, nothing else has changed except Thrawn is there. And they're
Thrawn
like,
and
oh, we
Prejudice?
Don't care that he is an alien.
Like, Pride and Prejudice.
Like, this is not the only one. I cannot stress that enough. Like, there's another one
where they just put Thrawn in there. I mean, I feel like, yeah, Thrawn.
Thrawn is very Darcy-coded.
Like,
it's the autistic
No,
swear.
Because me and Jess have talked extensively about Thranto, Pride and Prejudice AU.
I will bring that picture back up.
Like
the edited picture I made of the Thranto, Pride and Prejudice using Ella's art. Shout out to Ella.
The only thing that is not Pride and Prejudice about them is that they did like, well, actually, no. Because the whole time Eli was like, girl, why should I trust you? And Thrawn was like, you hold my words in your hands. So you know what? Actually, okay, so... apologies for that one.
Don't apologize. That was wonderful. Interesting.
This is another Star Wars fusion. This one, there isn't really a ship to this one. It says, who is the Austin character most likely to be a blank race of people in Star Wars? And the characters are Fitzwilliam Darcy, Colonel Fitzwilliam, and Elizabeth Bennett. Additional tags: this culture, family, alternate universe Star Wars fusion, come from a Tumblr ask.
Well, is it Chiss?
Also,
no. I was gonna say, is it Chiss? Dang it.
Mon Mothma is mentioned in this, but they don't tag her. It's a very, very short fic, by the way. This is just a concept.
Is it Chandrillon?
No.
Alderaan?
No.
We're running out of planets. Tatooine.
No.
Nope.
It's a culture of people.
A culture. Okay. Sith.
No! That's
Sith.
A religion!
I'm sorry!
Fuck.
Guys! It's so easy!
Tuskens.
No!
Oh, fuck yes. Tusken Pride and Prejudice? Let's talk about it.
Wait!
Let me write
Mandalorian.
Yes, it's Mandalorian.
Oh god.
I'm so stupid. Holy shit.
The Darcys are Mandalorians.
The Darcys as Mandalorians is so interesting, actually.
That's kind of everything. Wait.
This one is called Pride and Prejudice and Twi'leks. It is character A / character B. Character B / character C. Characters. Character B. Character A. Din Djarin. Grogu. Boba Fett. Fennec Shand. Character C. And then Lortha Peel. I don't know who that is. Additional tags. I ripped off Jane Austen, and I'm proud of it. Inspired by Pride and Prejudice. Rare pairings. Enemies to lovers. Post-canon. On the 210th anniversary of the publication of Pride and Prejudice, it is my great honor to start the publication of the dramatic story of character B and the blank Twi'lek I've decided to call this OC name for this character because Mr. Darcy was already taken. Fasten your seatbelts. We're going to Tatooine and I've got no time to lose.
Well, obviously one of them is Cobb Vanth, right?
So Cobb Vanth is character C. This fic was not updated since last year. It has 6 chapters. I'm going to say Cobb Vanth might be the, like, Wickham character, it seems.
That's so hateful.
From the pairings, I'm guessing, or maybe. I haven't read it, obviously, so.
But this is obviously a character that's been in The Mandalorian, right?
The Book of Boba Fett.
The Book of Boba Fett.
Well, actually, character
Rachel
B,
the Tusken,
who is in both of close in terms of that there is a Glup Shiddo who is character A.
Yasin
Slay.
Who
Slay? Is the Mr. Darcy? I wish. I fucking wish it was Yasin Slay.
Oh my god, I forgot about them, sorry.
Obviously one of them's gotta be a Twi'lek, right?
Yes, so character A is a Twi'lek.
That we
Why
know?
Why am I just thinking about the freaking Major Domo?
It is!
What?
That's Mr. Darcy!
What?
No!
Jesus Major Domo, so who is character B?
Is it Pelimoto?
Yes!
Wow! Fuck yes! Fuck yes! Oh, we win!
I do have to find out if Cobb Vanth is truly the Mr. Wickham.
That's so fucked up if he is.
Because that's so hateful.
That's not right.
Like,
that's
I have
Christian.
To find out. Like, why would you do that to him?
What the fuck did he do to you?
Hey, there's a Wedge Antilles Luke Skywalker one. Wait.
Shout out to the Wedge Luke girlies.
A Regency.
Shout out to Kels.
Regency AU where gay marriage is allowed under certain conditions. Okay, that kind of eats.
Under certain conditions, you can be gay.
Another one. Through a River of Stars. Character A, Star Wars character A, / Pride and Prejudice character B. Character B from Pride and Prejudice, / character C from Pride and Prejudice. Characters. Character A from Star Wars. Character B from Pride and Prejudice. Additional tags. Shit post. This is not serious. This is because I'm friends with trolls. But at least they're funny trolls. Turns out I'm a troll too. Ace cat character C, I guess. Internalized ace phobia. God damn it. Feelings happen. What the fuck? Angst. Fluff. This is from another Tumblr post. Here's the summary. I love you. I'm completely and utterly in love with you. Please don't get married. I was given this prompt and the characters of character A and character B. They're in love. Character C is there too. It's so like out there crack, but it kind of eats.
Is the Pride and Prejudice character male or female? Like, is this that gay shit?
Character B is female.
Okay.
And character A from Star Wars is also female.
Oh, lesbicious. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was...
I'm never going to stop saying that. I hope you know.
Sorry, that is my new favorite thing to say about lesbians. That's lesbicious. Wait.
I'm so sorry, but one of the pseudos of this writer's name is Paul Atreides Nuts.
Oh! Okay, when are we doing the Dune episode? The Depisode?
Yeah, so they're two girls. And the character C is a boy from Pride and Prejudice.
Okay, two girls and a boy. Is Darcy one of them?
Darcy is character C.
Okay, I thought so. That felt right. Herm. Jane Bennett.
No.
Okay.
Jess?
Is it a Bennett's sister?
Yes, it is a Bennett sister. It is not Jane.
It's not Jane. Is it Elizabeth?
It is Elizabeth Bennett, yes.
Okay.
So the second ship is Lizzie and Darcy. The first ship with a woman is Lizzie and a female character from Star Wars.
Leia?
Are they a sequel character?
Wait, you said Leia?
Yes.
No, it is not Leia. It is a sequel character.
Rose Tico.
Rey.
Yes! It's Rey!
Oh.
I'm so obsessed with this concept. Like, and it's literally they're kind of in a throuple. I'm literally skim reading this. Okay. And I'm like, wait, that eats. Hold on.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for Rupe Helps Pod Race. And thank you again for sticking with our new series. You know, Rupe Helps Day Off will probably drop every 2 weeks for the foreseeable future. But you never know, because, again, we have lives. But make sure you're following us on Instagram, Tumblr, TikTok, and, unfortunately, Twitter, at RupeHelpsPodRace for updates. And, you know, keep an eye out for the next announcement for what we'll talk about in the next episode. Maybe it's Baldur's Gate, maybe it's something else. Who knows? And if you want to ask us a question, send them to our Tumblr Ask box or email us at rupehelpspodrace@gmail.com. And if you really love the show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Spotify, Overcast, and any other podcatcher that allows ratings. And tell a friend who might be interested. It really helps the show, especially since we're not posting consistent episodes lately. If you'd like to hear more of us, you can hear me on the High Republic Tabletop RPG podcast for Light and Dice, or you can hear Claudia and Ollie on the Mysteries podcast, where they talk about Supernatural. And may the force be with you, and don't criff it up.
Waka waka.